frosty out this morning, a little chilly out there now. A week from today, it's supposed to be in the 50s. So up and down, and the ups will get more than the downs, and we'll get there. A couple of things I'd like to mention. One, our charge conference on the 23rd. It is a leaders charge conference for Ad Council. If you're on Ad Council, please make sure you are there at 7 o'clock on the 23rd. Everybody is invited. You are more than welcome to come to the charge conference. The district superintendent has something she'd like to go over with us. Also, then, on a couple days later, on the 25th, Thursday, from 9 till 3, it'll be down in the Kiwanis rooms. Unless we get more people than we expect, then we'll just move out into the gym. But we're having a domestic abuse seminar. The folks from Blackburn Center will be here as speakers. And Becky Rudy is taking care of the lunch. Becky could use some help. If you'd like to do that, contact Becky Rudy. Help her with the lunch. But we have a bunch of speakers lined up to learn about what the signs of domestic abuse are, causes, treatments, how to address it, what some of the legalities are, things like PFAs and that. And also they're going to talk about elder abuse on top of that. You can invite anybody you want. Everybody is welcome to come. So ask your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers if they could benefit from this. They are more than welcome to come. And that's on the 25th of this month. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for sunshine, for colors, for music. We give you thanks, Lord, for those who are willing to share their gifts with us. Thank you most of all that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Blessed be your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit, into this service. And use us as you see fit. Bless this service that would be pleasing to you and life-changing to us. Fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
I too want to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors I'm looking at. I'm not seeing any visitors. Do we have any visitors this morning? If so, and you don't want to raise your hand but would like information about our church, please see the pastor today, one of our ushers, or if you so desire, immediately out the double doors in the narthex to the left, there's a shepherd's crook. You can find a packet of information. A reminder to all in attendance this morning, please sign the registration page in the red folder, and that's located at the end of the pew. Please sign that, pass it to others, and bring it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, we have 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Use that card to write your prayer request, and the ushers will bring that forward to the pastor as well. Our memory verse for January, it's located on the first page of your bulletin, top center. We will recite that twice through. Please join me. John 14:19. Because I live, you also will live. John 14:19. Because I live, you also will live. I will highlight a few announcements, but first we'll start with Diane Runser, who has a few announcements.
Good morning. It's time to put some new charts on our clipboard today. Opportunities for service. The first one has to do with the coffee hour. Last year it was a real success in getting people to sign up for the coffee hours on the second Sunday of each month to help Penny Brandt, who's our chairperson. So if you're able to help on any of those months, I have everything up here through November. So if you're able to do that, please sign up. And underneath that is for those people who cannot sign up to help that day, but who could bake something. So if you want to be available to be called on to make cookies or whatever, that's the second sheet. Now, the third sheet is about our talent show. Now, that's on January 28th at 6 o'clock. It was a real success last year, and everybody has a talent. It might be telling stories. It might be playing an instrument. In fact, I've been practicing a hidden talent. Well, it needs more practice. Anyway, if you have a practice, even if it is playing kazoo, or spoons, or whatever, like last year, Deb Andreessen showed us how she does her quilling, and that was really interesting. So if you have a special talent, be sure to sign up on the third sheet. And because we are Methodists and we're coming in to do something, we're going to have reception afterwards. So we need people to help with bringing in some cookies and setting up a reception after the talent show. And that's the fourth sheet. We are a wonderful church at volunteering for things. So I hope that continues. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Also, a reminder from the Finance Committee, today is the final day to place your orders for the fruit sale. There are order forms in your bulletin today. There are also envelopes in the easel in the narthex to place the form and payment in. And reminder, do not put the envelope in the offering plate. Even though I just told you there's envelopes, yes, you use them, but do not put them in the offering plate. The office is closed tomorrow, and the orders need to be in today. Deb, can I see her in the back? Can you raise your hand, Deb? Debbie is in the back. Debbie is spearheading this sale. So if you want the fruit today, and Deb, I have one from First Service, please give your money and information to Debbie. Again, I'm sure you all heard me, but do not put them in the offering plate. Also, the United Methodist Men will meet this Wednesday, January 17th, boy, I'm pushing the month quickly, at 7 p.m. for discussion and fellowship, and all men are welcome. If you have any particular questions, please see Mike. Mike, if you'd raise your hand, Mike is our president of United Methodist Men. So all men are welcome to that event this Wednesday. And also, and I'm sure it may come up in the joys, but welcome back, Wendell, and congratulations to Sarah and Wendell. The flowers on the altar represent their 67th wedding anniversary. Let's hear it for Wendell and Sarah. And as a final reminder, I ask that you do check your bulletin. We have other announcements and activities in the life of our church going on this week.
Thank you.
Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You pursue me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Whither shall I go from you, Spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night. Please remain standing and turn in your red hymnal number 454. Be seated.
Jesus loves us bunches and bunches, sure does. Yep. I want you to go and get one person who knows you and bring them up here. Okay. The adults, come here. Okay. I want you four to spread out, and when I point at you, to call your child by name and just let them come to you, okay? Then I'm going to call them back up here, okay? But I want you to, when I point at you, call them by name. Okay, go ahead. Hannah, Sophie, Olivia and Michael, come back up here. Thank you. Old folks can be seated. Okay. You guys did good. When you were called, you went back there. When I called you, you came up here. You answered the call very well. You know who else calls us all the time? Jesus, God. God's always calling us to do something. Always. God is always calling us to do something, some kind of ministry. Bible tells us that all the time. But the way God calls us is by the power of his Holy Spirit. He either speaks directly to us, or he speaks to us through circumstances in our lives, or he speaks to us through other people. God calls us to get involved, to do something special. And we learn to hear that call, and we learn to obey that call by hanging out with other Christians who have been at it a long time and who know the Bible really well, by studying the Bible, by coming to Sunday school, to church, and by praying. All these things we do in order to get to know Jesus better, so that when he calls us, we can recognize his voice. So it's important to learn as much about Jesus as possible so that we'll understand and hear that call and obey it. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Thank you for the calls that you've put upon our lives. Help us to recognize that call and to obey it. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
Thank you, choir, for the lovely anthem. The Word of God is from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words of Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down within the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood forth calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant hears." May our God bless these words. I now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to return unto you a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. For everything that we have and everything that we own belongs to you. All that we are comes from you, God. Blessed be your holy name. And so use these gifts, use our lives as you see fit for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministries of this church. Call us, Lord, and we will answer. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Joys. What joys do we have? We have 67 years of marriage. Somebody deserves a medal, Sarah. What other joys do we have? Indoor plumbing, especially in this weather. Thank you. Grandchildren. Yes, we're going to our grandchild's birthday today, 3 years old, Levi. Playoff football games. Yeah. You didn't hear that? Ask me after church. Cool, that's a good one. I like that. Stool bus. Anybody else have a joy? Okay, nephew got through. Okay, Cindy had good test results. And we are thankful for coats or deodorant. Brother and sister. Christmas decorations are done. We're thankful for glasses. We're thankful for Bibles, reading material. Yep, we've got a lot to be thankful for. For all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. I'll run down my list here. This is our prayer homework for the week. We have the Rimali families and victims of our extreme weathers and disasters, including mudslides, earthquakes, forest fires, hurricanes and floods, freezing temperatures. We want to remember Betty and Amanda and Luke in our prayers. We also want to pray for our country, pray for all of our leaders, pray for the office, pray for our church, that we would be all that God wants us to be. Pray for those who are addicted, no matter what that addiction is. Pray that they find their strength in Jesus, their healing in Jesus. Pray for everybody that's listed on the back of our bulletin. Got that long list of names. Just don't take those for granted, but read through those in prayerful consideration. Pray for our first responders. God bless you. Pray for law enforcement. We want to pray for David. We want to pray for Matt and family. I have a funeral to do tomorrow at Snyder's at 2 o'clock for Ramona Lucas. Pray for the Lucas family. Pray for Ruth and Alan and Joyce and Dawn, Jean and Bill. And let's pray for the homeless and the poor and those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. Nothing more important than salvation. Who else do we want to add to the list? Pray for Rob.
Prayers for all the
cancer patients. Okay, pray for traveling mercies for everybody on the road. Joey and Sarah are on the road. Okay, we need a youth pastor. Pray for that. Pray for JJ. Okay, mental health patients and loved ones. Pray for Suzanne. Okay, pray for Brunetta. Mary, did you have one? Brunetta, okay. Unspoken. Raise your hand for unspoken requests. For all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, it may be the winter doldrums. may be the big letdown following the holidays, Christmas. But God, you are just as worthy of our praise as you are in any other day. And God, we believe that you're greater than any problem that we have. And so we come to you, Lord, with confidence. Confidence, knowing that we are your children. That you loved us so much that you became one of us. And Lord, we come to you with that confidence. And we lift up into the light and love of your presence all the requests that have been made known here today. Those on the back of our bulletins as well. We lift them all up to you, Lord, and all of the spoken and unspoken requests. You know every detail, and indeed, God, you are greater than any problem anybody has. And so, Lord, we plead the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ, over each and every person, over each and every request this day. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a mighty work. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The word of God is from John, the gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Yeah, Jesus called his followers, ordinary people like you and I. He'd come by and he'd just say, "Follow me." And says that they left what they were doing. They left their livelihoods and everything, and they went and followed Jesus. Probably drove some of their friends and their families crazy. No doubt it wasn't an easy thing to do either. But it's not easy answering the call that God puts on our lives. And I'm going to share with you something that I've shared before. Today's lectionary reading, though, is about Jesus calling his followers. The Old Testament was about Samuel and how he was raised in the church. And one day God calls him and he goes to Levi three times. Kept saying, "What do you want? What do you want?" And Levi, who was the high priest in the temple, realized that it was God who was calling Samuel and told him to. Next time you hear that, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That call comes in all kinds of different ways. Never easy. You know, as most all of you know, if all of you don't know, I mean, I was raised in Port View, born in McKeesport Hospital, raised in Port View, and dad was a policeman, and I had two brothers, and I had two sisters and a brother at the time. And when I was 17, my mom and dad had another one, and I got a little brother down in Florida. But we went to the Catholic Church, St. Joseph Roman Catholic Church. Catechism on Saturdays, Mass on Sundays. How many people here went to Catholic Church catechism? Remember this? Catechism. Oh, boy, them nuns were tough, man. They were tough. And we went there until I was 13. And at the age of 13, me and my siblings, like, we got away from church for some reason. We didn't go for almost a year. And mom and dad said, hey, you kids got to go back to church. You know, dad came from a staunch Irish Catholic family. Mom was Methodist, though, but she signed a paper that said she would raise us in the Catholic Church. So when I was about 14, we started attending. They gave us a choice, either back to the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church up on the hill. And the Methodist Church meant that we had to go Sunday morning to Sunday school and then stay for church, which meant that we didn't have to go to catechism so we could watch cartoons on Saturday. So we decided to go to the Methodist Church. That was the only reason. And of course, in the Methodist Church, you know, at the age of 14, I have a very definite image, picture in my mind of being inside of a tent. And outside the tent is the youth pastor, Dave Herman. And we're putting it up. And I said to him, you know, Dave, one day I'm going to do this. And he said, do what? And I said, one day I'm going to be a pastor. I don't know why I said that. I don't know where that thought came from. I love church more than my siblings did. Reverend Hugh Ashby was tremendous, and I had a couple of Sunday school teachers who were wonderful, and I loved being in church. And I would have these crazy conversations with God during the night. I'd be out walking in the woods talking to God, and I just loved talking to God. And pretty soon, as I grew older, strangers were telling me, you ought to think about going into the ministry. Because I'd get into conversations with them on the roads. And family and friends, they'd every now and then would say, you should go into ministry. And it just kind of boggled my mind. I mean, I loved church, but you know, I was too busy playing baseball and chasing girls to bother going into the ministry. Then after Bonnie and I got married, we were looking back at some old family video when the kids were little, and boy, I was preachy. Can you imagine that? I was preachy. I was already preaching back then. I didn't even know I was going into the ministry. But it wasn't easy. I mean, one day I'm sitting in charge conference at Port View United Methodist Church, and District Superintendent J. LaVon Kincaid says that God calls men and women just like you. And I mean just like you. God calls men and women just like you to go into ministry. He doesn't have a factory out in Hershey, PA, where he stamps out pastors. I remember him saying that. Everybody chuckled. But the whole time he's talking, there's a spotlight on me, and all around me it's all blacked out. And I knew that I knew that I knew at the age of 35 that it was time to go into the ministry. And I went home and I told Bonnie, what would you say if I said, I think God wants me to go into the ministry? And she said, well, you know, the mills had gone away. We were deep in debt, and we were renting this house across the street from my mom and dad. And I had a full-time job at Jefferson Hospital in charge of the linen department and benefits. And she says, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We're starting to get caught up on our bills. It won't be easy, but you're my husband. I'll go wherever you lead. And so Sunday I went to my pastor, Herb Clore, and told him. He was excited, and we started the process. 2 years of interviews and studies and paperwork and everything. And then one day I get appointed to Rogersville United Methodist Church down in Greene County, west of Waynesburg. Little village. $10,000 a year, four kids, food stamps, access cards for medical treatment, and driving junk. But we were excited because we were in ministry. But it wasn't easy living in a fishbowl. For 3 years, I went to Waynesburg College, and I got my degree in psychology. And it was hard taking care of one church, four kids, me and the wife, and not making much money. And then started seminary, 4 years of leaving Monday morning, driving 3.5 to 4 hours out to the middle of Ohio, to the outskirts of Delaware, Ohio, north of Columbus, where I went to Methodist Theological School in Ohio for 4 years. Drive out Monday morning and come home Thursday, sometimes Friday, and missing everything that was going on. And it was really hard. It was really hard on Bonnie. It was hard on the kids. And then when I'd get home, I would take care of the church. And I had two churches then. And I sacrificed Bonnie and the kids. And my kids rebelled like crazy. I've shared this story before. My oldest son became very withdrawn, mean to his siblings, destructive to property. My next son was out of the house a lot, just quietly rebellious. My daughter, crack cocaine, heroin, illicit sex, booze. She was a mess. My youngest son just cussed me up one side and down the other, took a few swings at me, hollered and screamed. And every one of them asked me, "Dad, why aren't you there when I've got a play to do, when I'm singing in the choir, when I'm at wrestling or I'm at basketball or I'm at football? How come you're not there to see what I'm doing? Why do you have to be gone? Why do you have to be so tied up in the church?" And I said, "When God, the creator of the whole universe, calls you, how can you say no?" I said, "I can't. I cannot say no to God." And it was hard. It was so very, very hard. It was hard on Bonnie, just being in the ministry and taking care of those kids while I was gone. And on top of that, she had to battle depression and migraines. And God's call comes with a price. God's call is not easy. But it's God. And when you recognize that it is God calling you to get involved in something, you have to step out in faith. You have to do what God calls you to do. God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. And, you know, we managed to get through all of that and survive that, as difficult as it was. And as you all probably already know, that, you know, today my three oldest kids are United Methodist pastors. And my youngest son is working on his second master's, lives up in Vermont, and he writes curriculum in that for the foster care system, teaching adults how to be parents. Wonderful children. And, you know, my three oldest all came to me when they came to me to tell me they were going into the ministry. They said, "We understand what you were saying, that God called you because God is calling us." I tried to talk them out of it. You know, I wanted them to be doctors and lawyers and, you know, so they could take care of mom and dad in the fashion to which I'd like to become accustomed. But they said they were called by God. They assured me that's what happened. There was a man, when we first announced in Port View that we were going into the ministry, there was a man who came to me, just a couple years older than me, and his name was Ron. He was a manager at a car dealership, and he said, "Bruce," he said, "I got something to tell you." He said, "I was called into the ministry." He said, "I became a student pastor." I said, "Really?" He said, yeah. He said, and we had a church over there by Stringtown. He said, but Cindy, his wife, whom I graduated with from high school, she didn't like being in the ministry. And she talked him into leaving the ministry. And he said, and it's the worst thing that I ever did. He said, because I got a hole inside of me. I got the feeling that there's something that I haven't done that I need to do. He says, and it's that call. He says, never turn your back on that call. It's not easy. It called for sacrifice on everybody's parts. All the disciples who were called by Jesus had to give up their vocations and their families and that. And they followed Jesus in spite of the toughness of it, the persecution, the stress. And I stand up here today, I've been doing this for 24 years. I still don't get it. I'm still surprised that I'm standing up here talking to all of you. Man, I can just chat away and just chat away. I can just go. I'm in this position of authority, and it boggles my mind. How did this happen to me? Because I have always felt like I've just been along for the ride. And I'll tell you, it's the call. Because God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And if you are willing to step out in faith and get involved in whatever it is that God's calling you to do, you don't have to worry about the results. The results aren't up to you. All you have to worry about is fulfilling the call that God has put on your life. It might be something minuscule. It might be something life-changing. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary, to maybe to come into ministry, to be a certified lay minister. Maybe God's calling you to be a worship leader or choir, sing in the choir. Maybe God's calling you to be part of a committee in church or to start another committee. We just had a young couple, they came to the first service, they're not here. Ian and Shelby, Ian is our public relations person now. And Ian, he's got these wonderful ideas about doing videos. He's going to do videos of church and put them online and take pictures and put them online. And he wants to do some video blogging with me and put that online. He's excited about advertising, and he felt called by God to do it. Well, Shelby feels called by God to do a prom night for people with disabilities. People maybe who never had a chance to go to a prom night. And so she's going to work on that. So Ian, she could use some help with that. It's exciting to see when somebody answers the call in their life, it's exciting to see them catch fire. And I'm telling you, you'll feel so good if you answer that call in your life and get involved, whether it's a little thing or a great big thing. But that was how, you know, Jesus just walked along and told his Philip, follow me. Come on, follow me. Philip grabbed Nathaniel. Come on. So God may be calling you to do something. Bible tells all of us that we are all ambassadors of Christ, and every one of us has a responsibility to preach the ministry of reconciliation. We are to implore people. We are to beg them to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Everybody has that responsibility. Bible makes that clear. But the Holy Spirit also gives us gifts, also calls us to get involved in other things. So, ring, ring, God is calling you. And if somebody says you're crazy, why are you doing this? You look them in the eye and you say, because when God, the creator of the whole universe, calls you, how can you say no? Lonnie couldn't. Runs a giveaway program here. I could go around and point out here, you know, we have a very healthy church because we have great volunteer commitment. But the call never stops. It always continues on and on and on. When we're done with one thing, God calls us to do something else. So, step out in faith and leave the results up to God. God loves you, and so do I. We're going to stand and sing number 593, Here I Am, Lord. And it's a great song about the call. It's all about God calling us to get involved. And this song brought me to tears when I first was going into the ministry. The altar rail is open. If you ever want to come down to the altar rail and stand for a few minutes, you do that. And if you want prayer with me while you're here, you raise your hand and I'll come pray with you. But when you sing this, think about the call that God has put upon your life. Let's sing. Dear Heavenly Father, bless us this week under your service. And Lord, unplug our ears. Help us to be still and know that you are Lord, and help us to recognize the call that you've put upon our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.